Oswald Chambers said, "Watch human nature. We are so built that if we do not get thrilled in the right way, we will get thrilled in the wrong way. My God, my God, what is he talking about this morning? Wow. Wow. But so true. If we are without the thrill of communion with God, we will try to get thrilled by the devil or by some concoction of human ingenuity." Boy, he just stepped up to the plate and knocked it out of the park right from the jump. Amen, somebody. And that's where we are. That's where we are. We got folks who are looking for a thrill, my friend. They try to find it and try to concoct it in church. And when they don't find it there, they go to the devil, to the club, and try to get a thrill there. They try to get a thrill in sex. Or, as he said, they try to get a thrill out of some drugs or some alcohol. People are always searching for a thrill. My, my, my. And what family devotions may not be is a thrill. Most family devotions, let's just be honest, it's not a thrill ride. For some it is. It is the most important part of my day. It has been for many years, but for some, it's, okay, let's go to the wonderful family devotions. No thrill whatsoever. No excitement whatsoever. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we thank you for what we have heard this morning, very insightful. And Lord, help us to stop looking for a thrill and help us to simply be obedient. Help us to simply trust in you, believe in you, love you back because you first loved us, fear you, respect you, reverence you, so that we will obey you and be faithful to you. And therein lies a permanent thrill. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to do that throughout this day. Help us to delight in you. Help us to love being with you. And we will have a permanent thrill ride in our souls and in our spirits. And an unstoppable joy and peace. And everybody who is walking in that way, they know this as children of yours. And so, Lord, help us to go that path and be blessed. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ephesians 4, we're back to talking about the Father in particular and parents in general. When we read in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Do you love your children, sir, ma'am? Well then, do not provoke them to wrath and provoke them to evil by neglecting them, by not spending time with them, by not, chastising them and rebuking them when they're wrong, for they will grow up to hate you and despise you. And quite frankly, there's an automatic reaping of what you've sown. If you don't love your children, and you just want to use your little children for props, you devil, you. Just to take little pictures on your little iPhone and send them to Grandmama, who is can care less as well, and to show that you're a happy family, and you know you're not. And you neglect your children, and you don't spend time with them. You toss them to daycare centers, and you don't talk to them while they're young. And the only time you want to talk to them is when they're older, and you don't know them, and they don't know you. More children grow up bitter and resentful and don't want to have anything to do with you when they get older because you did not speak to them when they were children. You did not spend time with them when they were children. You left them in daycare centers. You're one of those fathers and mothers who couldn't wait for your children to go to public school so that you can get a break. Isn't it interesting how Christian, even Christian parents are talking about, I need a break from these children. I told my wife a long time ago when an older lady said, your wife needs a break from these children. I said, how is it that God would bless us with children, bless us with children, and yet we need a break from the children? No. You need a break from not parenting properly where your children can go with you and be with you all of the time, and you can raise them yourself. And you can't do that if you don't train them up in the way they should go. If you don't chastise them and if you don't help them to understand there are consequences for their behavior and their choices. Because once you help them to understand that, your children will be a joy and a blessing to you. Will they always be happy campers? No. But they will understand there's right and wrong, and they have a duty to do the right thing for the glory of God, whether they feel like it or not. They have to learn what so many generations have not learned, that you must do the right thing and do what you're supposed to do, whether you feel like it or not. That's why we have an explosion of children leaving the church, leaving their mother and father, never to return. Nothing with hateful venom in their hearts towards their parents. And the mother's heart or the father's heart is broken. They're in depression because their children won't speak to them. Listen to me. If you don't spend time with your children and you're Mr. Busy Bee and you're Mrs. Busy Bee all of their lives, you got more important things to do, more important people to see than your little children, don't be shocked when they don't want to spend time with you. You have made them angry and bitter because all they have seen is hypocrisy, phoniness. They know you didn't care for them as you should have. And now you want to be the little doting mother and the doting grandfather and the doting grandmother, and that you're so proud of your children, you lying hypocrite. You were constantly trying to get your groove on because you never got your groove on in high school. And Facebook has put gas on that flame. You're trying to be as happy as your high school classmates who don't give a flip about you. No, a lot of the problems, my beloved, in this country should be laid at the feet of sorry, no good parents. Not the government, not the church, parents who don't love their children, who are hypocrites, phonies and fakes in front of their children. Parents have destroyed the love that those children once had towards God in the church. Sorry, no good fathers, trying to be a bigwig, running here and there, trying to be somebody. wasting your life when you could have invested time in your children and then enjoy them and enjoy their success as I am by the way, by the grace of God. Now you say, preacher, how did you do this? Well, I saw my parents neglect and forsake us, working 2 and 3 and 4 jobs and working at night and working midnight shift and all this and so forth, thinking that getting us material things would make us happy. But I learned from them in a negative sense that that's not what children want or need. All of my children text me every half hour. All of my children who are out of the house text me before they leave their house to go anywhere. They text me when they arrive or they call me. We have that kind of relationship. I can talk to them about anything. Now, that may not be the case with my wife as their mother, because my wife did not obey me in when I told her to love her children and to care for her children, and that in time to come, they will rise and call you blessed. Where she refused to obey that. I told her before the children started coming, I said, your job is to make memories for these children. And if you do that, and you love on them and care for them, and they can feel that and sense that, they will not mind coming back home to see you because they have those memories. I told her that before the first child was born. She refused to believe me. She refused to believe the word of God. And now all of my children, I hate to say it, love me more than they love her. They don't even communicate with her, but they communicate with me. And you don't want to be in the situation that my wife is in. I had nothing to do with it. I did not encourage that. I would not dare do that. She did it all by herself. And there are thousands, yea, millions of parents who are only concerned about themselves. They're selfish. They do not love and care for their children as they should. And my friend, when you sow that, you will reap the whirlwind. And your children will despise you and be angry with you and be provoked to wrath. So with that said, it is my prayer for you that if you're doing that, if you're taking your child to the daycare center right now, I don't care how many years folks been doing this, turn around and you call your little job that really does not advance you at all anyway and say, listen, I'm going to spend the day with my child. Or I can come and work into work if you provide me a place where I can spend time with my child. Or allow me to work from home. There's no need. Listen, you know it's true. In most jobs today, there's no need to go to an office. Demand that if you want me to work for this company, let me work from home. If you can't trust me to do that now, then I have to quit the job and stay with my children. It is a sin, listen to me very carefully, and it is a crime for you to dump your child off at a daycare center where children are so unloved and uncared for. They just are seen as dollar bills. They're so unloved and uncared for that they are left in vans to die. They're left in the daycare center by themselves with all the lights off. People have forgotten about your child. I remember an incident. Thank God it was a boy because he bounced right on up. But an incident in a daycare center where the daycare center was not paying attention, and the daycare center had these tall metal cribs. The little boy climbed over that thing and fell down and almost killed himself. People not caring for the children, not paying attention. So apologize for being a little bit long-winded on this, but it is necessary. So you do whatever you want to do. Please join me in reading our devotional Bible passage from the Word of God today in Psalm 73, verses 21 through 28. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. Don't you love the reading of the Bible, the writing that God inspired these writers to write? Allow me to read, because it's not only powerful, and not only is it true, not only is it necessary for our survival, but in many places in the Bible, and I would say all of the Bible, but some higher than others, it is most eloquent. So allow me to read that verse again. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. Have you ever been there? So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Because of the prosperity of the wicked, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Are you there, dear Christian friend? Are you continually with God? Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee, and there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My, my, my. Are you there? Are you at the point in your Christian life where all you desire is God? My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart. Is God the strength of your heart this morning? And my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. Amen, somebody. Oh, yes, you will reap what you sow if you forsake God. And you go a-whoring from him after other little g-gods, acting like a whore. A whore for material things, a whore for money, a whore for sex, a whore for a woman, a whore for a man, running away from God, acting like a whore, forsaking God for the devil and his trinkets, forsaking God for pleasure, forsaking God for the liturgy God of money, when you know better. See, the problem for some of you people is that you know better and you know too much. You know too much. In other words, you know better. You've heard the Word of God all of your life. You know that the money and material things that you're hunting for will never satisfy you. Oh, yes, you'll come back. You'll come back to the Lord. If you're truly born again, if you're truly saved, you'll come back after you have gone out whoring around for worldly success and for money and for prestige, thinking that your godly parents will think that be so proud of you. They won't. Thinking that your friends and family members will be impressed with your material gain and your worldly success and your little money that you have to buy your little car on debt, in debt. See, smart people look at people who buy fancy cars on time as dumb. Smart people like to have a car paid for in full. There's a peace that comes with that. And so we're not impressed with you buying a fancy car on time trying to impress somebody. We feel sorry for you because you've gone into debt for a little, pretty little car that lost thousands of dollars of value as soon as you signed the paper and you drove it off the lot. Spiritual people are not impressed with that. They can care less about that. They would rather see you love God back, trust God, fear God, obey God, and be faithful to God. For therein lies the true riches. Verse 28, but it is good for me to draw near to God. It's good for you to draw near to God. Are you doing that this morning? I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. Let's do it. Let's put our faith and trust in our God, the God who made everything we see, and yet we go whoring after the things we see instead of going towards the light, going towards our God who made it all. And he doesn't mind you enjoying some of it as long as you put him first. That fancy meal that you're eating at the fancy restaurant, are you giving God glory for that meal? The few friends that you truly have and the friends you have on Facebook are not your friends. They're your competition. They're the ones who provoke you to put up lying pictures about how much fun you're having in life when you're not having any fun at all. In fact, you're depressed. You're in competition with them in the fun game, in the fake happiness game. Oh, look at me. And then you expect them to respond. They can care less about you doing some skydiving or whatever. They can care less. They're only concerned about impressing you. They're not your friends. But do you thank God for those two or three friends that God gave you? Who you can call at the drop of a hat and talk about anything, and they know all about you and still love you. Do you have some God-given Ace Boone Coons? Do you have your family intact? Do you love your family, and does your family love you? Do you get along? These are the true riches, my friend. And when you gather together, when you eat together, do you give God the glory, the praise, and the honor? Does he come first? Is he at the head of the table? Amen, somebody. Let's pray for the estates. Holy Father God, we pray for the government and all of the other estates based upon your holy word. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Holy Father God, we pray for our present president as we pray for all of the previous presidents. And they all have probably failed you, and they all have certainly failed this country. But yet we pray for them, and we pray that you would give them wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and insight. We pray the same for President Donald Trump, that you would give him wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and insight far beyond his years and far beyond his abilities. We pray the same for his administration. We pray for each member of the White House staff, leaders of federal agencies, all members of Congress, all governors, mayors, police chiefs, and sheriffs, all military leaders, and the leaders of all nations around the world. And we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we also pray for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, life, physical, provision, protection, blessings upon the president and all of these people. We pray for the church. Lord, in many cases, the anemic church. We pray for revival in your church by a revival of obedience to your simple but blessed holy word. Help us to go back to the old landmarks of prayer, of preaching your holy word and sharing the gospel with a dying and lost world. It works every time because it is your plan. Help us to obey the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. We pray for religious but lost leaders, that they would be saved. We pray for church leaders who are saved but who need revival. And we pray for a church who desperately needs revival today. We also pray for current events. There are many. Lord, you know all about them. And we commit them into your hands. Let your will be done. We pray for all comfort, provision, protection, and recovery of those who have been affected by Hurricane Nate recently, and Harvey, Maria, and terrible Hurricane Irma, I think the name is, down in Florida. People are still digging out of those things. Lord God in heaven, we pray we pray for the families that were impacted by the tragedy in Las Vegas, that you would comfort them as only you can. And Holy Father God, I pray for my missionary children out on the foreign field and the domestic field, serving you and sharing the gospel with others and helping others dig out of bad situations. And Holy Father God, we pray for the media, that you would save those who are lost, revive those who are saved, help them to report the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Help them to stay out of the story, and help them to not give out false news because it impacts our nation negatively. And Holy Father God, we pray for Harvey Weinstein. Obviously a very gifted and talented individual by your grace. And Lord, he's done wickedly. He has admitted as much, and now he's going to rehab. But we do find it strange how other wicked sinners, who no doubt already knew about this, kept silent. And now they're throwing stones at him and making him the proverbial scapegoat. And so, Lord, we pray that you would use this time in his life and have your Holy Spirit to convict him of his sins, and that he would repent and trust Christ as Savior, and as well as the other hypocrites and phonies in Hollywood. Lord, have your Holy Spirit to descend upon that place and upon the hearts of the people, and break their wicked hearts, and help them to humble themselves and admit their own sins and be saved. We also pray for the prayer requests that we do have on this list this morning. We pray that you'll help us to pray for the other hundreds of other prayer requests throughout this day. And we pray for Nakia. Please keep her out of jail and have the people working her case to be fair, save, and comfort her loved ones. And we thank you for those who are making sure that these prayer requests are stayed up to date each and every day. We pray for Maria. Marie, I believe. This is Marie Grace. Please provide her and family with a warm, safe, dry, and secure home that they can afford, that accommodates all their needs. Heal her of bone pain and all other illnesses. We pray for Subdoc. Please save his wife, his children, and his sister and brother. We pray for those who have been saved through the ministry. Help these to grow in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be. We pray for Saul. We pray for Marubi. We pray for Niabaga as well. And we pray for those who have recommitted their lives to you, Lord Jesus. We pray for Joe. We pray for Jill. We pray for Candelario. And we pray that they would stand firm in the faith. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, on this beautiful Wednesday morning, our devotional reading for today is titled, He Keeps Us From Falling by Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers. By the way, he never called himself the Prince of Preachers. We call him the Prince of Preachers, even though we have not heard him. Jude 24, verse 24 says, He is able to keep you from falling. Amen, somebody. God is able to keep you from falling. In some sense, the path to heaven is very safe, but in other respects, there is no road more dangerous. It is beset with difficulties. One false step, one false move, and how easy it is to take that, if grace be absent, and down we go. Can somebody say amen right there? That's why God constantly tells us to be sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful. To be prayerful, to pray without ceasing, because one small error in judgment, and boom, bam-a-lam, you're down on your face, a face plant. What a slippery path is that which some of us have to tread. How many times have we to exclaim with the psalmist, My feet were almost gone, and my steps had well nigh slipped. If we were strong, sure-footed mountaineers, this would not matter so much. But in ourselves, how weak we are. We have many foes who try to push us down. Judases, Sanballats, Tobiases, enemies of the cross, enemies of every good work. The road is rough and we are weak. But in addition to this, enemies lurk in ambush. Who rush out when we least expect them and labor to trip us up or hurl us down the nearest precipice. Only an almighty arm can preserve us from these unseen foes who are seeking to destroy us. Such an arm is engaged for our defense. He is faithful that hath promised, and he is able to keep us from falling, so that with a deep sense of our utter weakness, we may cherish a firm belief in our perfect safety, and say with joyful confidence, Against me earth and hell combined, but on my side is power divine. Jesus is all, and he is mine. Somebody ought to say amen right there. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for our time together this morning. Albeit late, we give you the glory, praise, and honor, how that you make up the difference. And we thank you so much, Lord, for being with us in this veil of tears, in this world of woe, and constant threat to our spiritual safety. And Lord God in heaven, we give you the glory, praise, and honor for your strong arm that stands, that surrounds us and protects us. And help us to lean on your everlasting arms. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, my beloved, if you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you happened upon us this morning and you did not understand everything because you're not a Christian yet, but you want to be a Christian, Jesus Christ has a sweet word for you. When he says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that includes you because you're in this world, "that he gave his only begotten Son," his name is Jesus Christ, "that whosoever," that means you, "whosoever," means anybody at any time, "believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life," that means everlasting life in heaven with God. If you want to be saved today, it's very simple. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, that he died for your sins, acknowledging that you have sinned. He died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. The Bible also says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, dear friend, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray and ask him to save you, and I'll be glad to lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, right where you are. Stop the treadmill, stop the car, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved this morning. And follow me in prayer, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I realize and I understand that I have sinned against you. I have broken some of your 10 commandments. For Jesus Christ's sake, your Holy Son, based upon his shed blood that he shed on the cross, please forgive me of all of my sins, my failures and my faults. As I now believe with all of my heart, the best way that I know how, in the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that he died for my sins as the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. I believe that he was buried and rose again for my soul's salvation. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, and help me to turn from my old life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake. Amen. Beloved, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me, and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from sin that causes hell. You're saved from hell, and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is simply believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture." Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you is my prayer.